Nick Bonsanto joins us now. He is the host of the Nick Bonsanto Show on ESPN 105.1 in Chattanooga. Nick, hope you're well. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. Other than the heat, I'm good, and thanks for having me.
Well, that can be certainly a detriment this time of year.
Oh, my God. Way too hot.
Oh, yeah. No, and there's no relief either.
No, I'm glad I don't have to put pads on and work out. Good thing these kids aren't in pads yet for football.
Well, it was a week ago tomorrow that Mike Hamilton announced his decision to resign as the Tennessee Athletic Director. You obviously are a host a show there in Chattanooga and interact with fans on a daily basis. What's the reaction been from Vol fans about that resignation and the vacancy?
Other than it was tough to check out what was audible because there was a party going on when it was announced. No, in truth, people overall pretty much, I think, saw the inevitable. It was something that had to happen in Knoxville. It was no knock on Mike Hamilton, the person, because Mike Hamilton, the person, is a good guy. By all accounts and his actions, he's a good guy. But with what happened with the program under his leadership, especially the last 2 to 3 years, people thought he should have gone. A lot of people thought he should have gone prior to Pearl or any of the others. While they believe they should have gone, they thought he should have fought. He should have went first, to be honest with you. And now the fact that he's gone, I think they're just ready to move on.
So you think under the circumstances, this was the best thing for Tennessee and Hamilton to part ways?
It had to happen. It absolutely had to happen. The timing of it may be a little suspicious with the fact that they were getting ready to go before the NCAA just this past weekend. That was a little bit odd to me. Also a little bit odd to me that you left, if you will, the lame duck athletic director there to hire the basketball coach. That was kind of strange to me. But at the same time, maybe they felt they needed to get the coaches hired on and then address the AD, because if you had a lame duck athletic director position, then maybe you wouldn't have been able to get the coach like Konzo Martin or whoever they may have looked at. So maybe the timing was for a reason, but I, like I said, surprising that he held on that long, but not surprising that it finally happened. Just the day that it happened was the surprise.
Nick, in your opinion, looking forward now, who do you think Tennessee should turn to for their next athletic director?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's going to be, while it's still a big-time SEC job, I'm wondering who really wants it. All you keep hearing are the guys that don't want it right now. You look over at Louisville, their AD, he doesn't want it. Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky, he doesn't want it. DeFilippo Boston College, he said he doesn't want it. We're hearing everybody that doesn't want it. I'm wondering if it's not going to be a situation where they're going to have to look at a number two man somewhere, an assistant AD somewhere that they elevate. Because right now, quite frankly, with the uncertainty hanging over Tennessee's head with what penalties are coming, I don't know if the big-name guy is going to make the switch. And then, of course, the big name that everybody is talking about, which I think would be a huge mistake, by the way, is, they're talking up Philip Fulmer. And I think that day is done. That train has left the station. Great guy, but that's not the guy, in my estimation, to lead a $100 million athletic department. I don't think it's the way to go. And it'll just be interesting to see who it ends up, because right now I don't see the surefire candidate chomping at the bit to take the gig.
We're chatting with Nick Bonsanto of ESPN Radio in Chattanooga. Switching gears now to the other story that it seems like there's a lot of stories surrounding Tennessee right now. The other one.
None pleasant either.
No. Over the weekend, the Tennessee football and basketball went before the NCAA Committee on Infractions. It's a dog and pony show every time this happens, it seems. But what did you make of Tennessee's appearance before the NCAA?
Well, I know that there were so many people there that the NCAA actually had to get a larger room than they would normally use. And I don't know if that's positive or negative, but what it tells me is there had to be so many people there because everybody had to come from different areas, and it wasn't one athletic department coming. It was like six of them. Lane Kiffin came with Hayden from USC, and Pearl was there with attorneys, and you had the old athletic director in Hamilton as well as the new AD. It was just, there were so many hands in this pot, and I don't know where we will end up in this, but I know it's a mess, and I'll be honest, My honest opinion on this entire situation is I don't think Tennessee could have been in front of the NCAA at a worse time than this past weekend.
Yeah, that's very true. What is the sense from your position about the potential sanctions that Tennessee may incur?
Well, you know, I am not hearing any certain rumors in any way. I mean, a lot of people are hopeful. They're hopeful. Tennessee people inside of the Vols hierarchy are very hopeful that the fact that Pearl is no longer with them, that the fact that Kiffin is no longer with them, the fact that Reeves is no longer with them, and Mike Hamilton, who this happened under, is no longer with them. They're feeling that should be enough to escape the major violations. Call me a pessimist, I don't think it'll work. My honest opinion, and I've been wrong before, but on this one I'm not sure that I will be, I think there are some serious sanctions coming down, my opinion. I think that basketball has to be looking at a few scholarships, and when you're only talking about a handful that basketball has, you lose two or three, and that's a large percentage. I think they could be looking at a lot of problems. And football, I think, will actually, of the two, in my estimation, I think they'll get the lightest sentence in my estimation. I think that they might be looking at a reduction by, I'm going to say, two scholarships they may lose. I think they'll be okay. I think basketball's where the problem lies.
Is there still a large amount of animosity directed toward Lane Kiffin by the Tennessee fans?
Oh, my gosh. Good thing the hearings weren't held in Tennessee. They probably wouldn't have let him in the state. He is still public enemy number one. He is. If he is brought up on my show, people go crazy. It's they lose all sense of reality when you mention him. You know, people have a running joke. They think that I like him because in some instances I have defended him. I can't defend what he did.
Right.
But they still feel like they've been scorned. You know, they have that woman scorned type of mentality. You know, they lost the girl at the altar or whatever it may be. But they do not like Lane Kiffin, period. Can't mention his name without stirring up some negative feelings anywhere in the Volunteer State, anywhere.
In contrast, what are the feelings from the Volunteer faithful about Bruce Pearl?
Now that's what's really odd. When you look at this, Bruce Pearl probably had the worst transgressions by lying to everybody. But they as a whole would have looked past the Bruce Pearl lying. I think as a whole, if you were to take a vote, I think Pearl could still win re-election. Pearl was a very popular guy, took the basketball program to places it had not been in quite some time. Ever, actually, you know, took them minutes away from a Final Four. People liked Bruce Pearl, and it was partly because Pearl was a personable guy. Pearl was very outward. People loved him, as I said. He built the program. But the bottom line there is he did things that you can't do. Had he been a Lane Kiffin type that did that, they would have carried him out themselves. But I think if Pearl were to escape any type of major sanctions, a show calls or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised there's a groundswell that would say someday we'd like him back. They liked Bruce Pearl. They really liked Bruce Pearl.
It's amazing how that works. Our final question with Nick Bonsanto. Nick, with all the off-the-field distractions, whether it be the athletic director position trying to be filled or the potential sanctions against football and basketball, do you believe that there is a possibility for Tennessee to be competitive in the SEC East this year?
Competitive in the East, wow. It's going to be difficult. I mean, they're very young. From a football standpoint, the Vols are very, very young. Bray has a lot of potential. I think he will do well. I think that this year will be a difficult year. I actually think this year they could step back. Maybe in that 5-6 win neighborhood, I think they could step back to there. But I will say this, the SEC East as a whole, there's room for somebody to surprise in the SEC East. There is no one going in this year that you look at and you say, surefire, they've got it.
Right.
If there was a team, I would say you'd have to lean maybe towards South Carolina. Garcia can stay out of the bars or whatever other trouble he may get into. They look like they possibly could repeat. Georgia is a team that could surprise people, but they're going to need the freshman running back to carry that ball. He's going to have to come up big because now there's no one but him and Crowell. I mean, there's room for somebody to jump up. Florida, who knows what we're getting out of Florida? Does anybody know? I don't know. You've got the new coaching staff. You don't know how that'll play out. So could Tennessee catch lightning in a bottle? They could. I don't see it happening. It's possible, though.
Nick Bonsanto, he hosts the Nick Bonsanto Show on ESPN Radio in Chattanooga, 105.1 FM in Tennessee, obviously. Nick, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem. Anytime, Jacob.